And welcome back to the program. I'm Michael Cohen with producer Desi Simmons. It seems like a lifetime ago when Governor Jennifer Granholm was in office and Democrats in Lansing had some semblance of power as 2011 brought sweeping changes to the governor's office, the legislature, and state policies. To talk about Governor Granholm's time in office and the direction Michigan is heading now, I'm joined by Dan Mulhern, Michigan's first gentleman, husband of Governor Granholm, and the co-author of the new book, A Governor's Story, The Fight for Jobs and America's Economic Future. Welcome to the program, Dan.
Thanks, Mike. Glad to be with you.
Now, I know Governor Granholm was not available this evening, but tell me, when you and she look at the way state lawmakers have been working this year, passing the budget in the spring, pursuing major business tax reform, certainly very different than her time in office, do you marvel at the legislative process that Governor Snyder and Republicans have developed?
It's nice to have everybody on the same team. And of course, when Jennifer was in office, there were Republicans controlling both houses of the legislature for most of that time, and for a brief period, Democrats in the House. So it's a very different scenario than it was, and that's politics in America. Things shift and change.
Are you in any way surprised or impressed by the way Governor Snyder is working, considering that he did not have an extensive political background?
You know, Michael, Jennifer and I have both felt that it was great that Governor Engler, when Jennifer took office, gave her room to govern, wasn't second-guessing or kibitzing on what she was doing. So he's doing what he's doing, and I'd rather really not get into the politics of Governor Snyder and what's happening in Michigan. We've written a book that's really about the time before that, but especially about the issues facing the country as an important presidential election year rolls around.
You know, we're seeing these major business cuts, and now the personal property tax is likely to be cut for businesses. State Republicans say that while Governor Granholm may have had her share of tax cuts in her first term, the cuts that are now being made are more beneficial to small businesses and are likely to be more effective in producing a job-creating climate. What's your response to that assertion?
Well, really, we're dealing with a model that was made for another time. I mean, Jennifer cut taxes 99 times. They're in the appendix of the book, every single one of them. Michigan's economic competitiveness rate, its tax rate, rose enormously. In Jennifer's time, we became the 49th in the country in terms of our number of employees compared to the number of citizens. So Jennifer did all kinds of things to make the business climate more palatable. If that was all that it took, Michigan would be swimming in jobs, and clearly it's not, and continues not to be. So something else has got to be going on. Is tax competitiveness important? Yes, but it's a small factor. People don't move jobs because of a state marginal tax rate. Is it an issue? Yes, but the bigger issue is that Michigan has been losing because of the incredible outflow of jobs, not only from the state, but not only out of the state to other states, but out of the state to the rest of the country. And that's the major issue confronting us, Michael. It's not marginal tax rates. And throwing that up for people is really a great distraction from the major issue facing the country, which is not state tax rates.
Another place we're certainly losing millions of jobs to is China. In fact, Governor Snyder is in China this week, and the hope, apparently, as it typically these trips are, is that it will produce investments and jobs here in Michigan. You know, some economists say that our relationship with China, even Michigan's relationship with China, may be good for businesses, but not good for Michigan workers generally. Do you believe that to be the case?
Well, it's entirely clear that that's the case, that focusing on tax cuts for businesses or capital gains taxes or, frankly, even tax cuts to individuals is not alone going to do it because we're not in a closed economy. So if you give citizens more money through tax cuts, there was a time when they would buy products that were made in the United States of America. Now, if they spend today, well, it's good for Target because people shop there and we have employees at Target. It's good for Walmart because we have employees and people shop there. But where is all that stuff being made? It's being made in China. So to think that giving more money to consumers is going to grow the American economy is only a half-truth. The same thing is true with investment money. If you lower the capital gains tax, where is that money being invested now? Do we think it's going to be invested in the U.S.? certainly some will. We have some great businesses. We have some great innovation. We always will. But when you look at the last decade, we lost 2.5 million jobs in manufacturing in American corporations. But they were net job creators because they created 2.9 million jobs abroad. So we lost 2.5 million. The rest of the country gained 3 million. I'm talking about American corporations.
Mm-hmm.
So the idea that cutting taxes is somehow going to create more jobs is a little bit crazy. Now, I think the governor's focus, although I don't really want to get into the governor a lot, don't even want to get into the president, but their focus on small business is probably a really good idea because small businesses are going to tend to spend more of their money and access their resources here. Not entirely. A small business can just as easily go find its IT resources in India or go find its supplies in China. But in general, there's probably going to be an advantage to that. I think the president's new proposed credits for small business make a lot of sense because they're tied to job creation. They get the credits if they create the jobs, and that, to me, makes a lot of sense.
I'm talking to Dan Mulhern, Michigan's first gentleman, husband of former Governor Granholm, and the co-author of the new book, A Governor's Story, The Fight for Jobs and America's Economic Future. You know, Dan, Governor Snyder and Republicans came in facing this massive budget deficit, so cutbacks were unavoidable. If Governor Granholm had been faced with the same type of a deficit, would she have approached it in a distinctly different way than the way Republicans and Governor Snyder are now addressing it?
You know, Michael, I don't want to second-guess what Governor Snyder is doing. I mean, in general, governments have to get smaller. They have to cut what they must, but for the important reason, so that they can invest where they have to, which is in job creation and in education.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not an either-or, and I'm not going to get into a discussion of specifically what Governor Snyder is or isn't doing.
Do you agree, though, that, like, for example, the Michigan business tax was definitely a hindrance to business and it needed to be addressed and at least reformed somehow, if not eliminated as it was?
Well, I mean, if you go back, Michael, it's very clear that the Republican legislature and Governor Engler built our tax system at a time when we had 3.2% unemployment. In other words, our payroll taxes, our income taxes were high. Our sales tax returns were generating all kinds of money. Our property values were very high, and so our property taxes were great. So what that regime did was created a tax structure based on the happiest, rosiest times you would ever have. And what Governor Granholm and Governor Snyder have had to confront is that that was a structural problem. So some of the way to resolve that has been to shrink the size of government dramatically, to do things like prison reentry initiatives so that you shrink the prison population but keep people safe. So,
mm-hmm.
You know, we're doing some creative, innovative things. I'm sure Governor Snyder's trying to do the same thing. But, you know, the fundamental issue is, are we going to choke government or does government have some kind of role? At a certain point, when you start cutting education, you are killing the middle class. You are killing our competitiveness for
mm-hmm.
the future. So, you know, the principles Jennifer steered on were shrink government so that what you could do is invest in what you had to, especially education and especially retraining and job creation.
I do need to ask you about the fact that tens of thousands of Michigan families are waving goodbye to welfare benefits tomorrow, and changes are also going to be made to the food assistance eligibility. What do you and Governor Granholm think when you see these developments? Lawmakers say it's all part of reducing costs that need to be made. Would Governor Granholm have ever considered these kinds of measures?
Michael, I'm just not going to go there. I know you're asking it in the best spirit and in an intellectual spirit. People are going to take my words and say, you know, Mulhern or Mulhern and Granholm are attacking Governor Snyder. I don't want to do that. He's doing his best. He ought to do his best. And, you know, we wish the best for Michigan when hard choices are being had. People want to understand the deep underlying issues and how we need to change our policies. We'd strongly encourage them to read our book and make their own judgments.
One final question. The auto industry now appears to be turning around. Some tepid job growth is expected in the state in the coming years. Is Governor Snyder's time in office likely to be one that sees Michigan on the upswing as compared to the previous 10 years?
You know, we have fundamental problems in our economy that we have to deal with, especially in terms of competitiveness. We still have trade imbalances that are significant, and we have a government that oftentimes doesn't want to play a role. Meanwhile, China, Singapore, Taiwan, Korea, Bangladesh, Sweden, Germany, it's not just the developing world, these countries are saying we've got to have a jobs program, we've got to have an energy program, so we've got to have a manufacturing program. So, you know, all we're saying is we really need to think about this in this world of the future. America's got to be playing, and if we don't get that seriously straight, we're going to continue to see a great loss of jobs, including in the automotive sector.
I see. So to say that you're wildly optimistic about the immediate future here in Michigan when it comes to our economy would be an overstatement?
Michigan still has great challenges before it. There's absolutely no doubt about it. And Michigan has been through enough cycles, Michael, of a downward automotive trend and then an upturn. But our upturns have never been, in the last 50 years, anything like our downturns. If we don't learn about diversification, if we don't learn about educating our children at a higher level, then shame on us. But we need to invest in ourselves. We need to invest in our children. We need to invest in training programs for our adults. We need to become continuous learners. Ford, GM, and Chrysler are not going to carry us to the promised land.
Dan Mulhern, Michigan's first gentleman, husband of Governor Granholm, and the co-author of the new book, A Governor's Story, The Fight for Jobs and America's Economic Future. Dan, thank you very much for joining me.
My pleasure, Michael. Thanks for talking to me.
And we'll be right back with more. I'm Michael Cohen. You're listening to 1320 WILS.